This last episode decided me. I had to have a talk with Mrs. Rumley, and a few days later, I called in at the Laurels. "Maybe you'll think it's none of my business," I said, "but I honestly don't think Cedric is the dog for you. In fact, he's so wrong for you that he's upsetting your life." Mrs. Rumley's eyes widened. "Well, he is a problem in some ways, but what do you suggest?" "I think you should get another dog in his place. Maybe a poodle or a corgi, something smaller, something you could control." "But Mr. Herriot, I couldn't possibly have Cedric put down." Her eyes filled quickly with tears. "I really am fond of him, despite everything." "No, no, no, of course not," I said. "I like him too. He has no malice in him, but I think I have a good idea." "Why not let Con Fenton have him?"
"Con?"
"Yes. He admires Cedric tremendously, and the big fellow would have a good life with the old man. He has a couple of fields behind his cottage and keeps a few beasts. Cedric could run to his heart's content out there, and Con would be able to bring him along when he does the gun. You'd still see him 3 times a week. Mrs. Rumley looked at me in silence for a few moments, and I saw in her face the dawning of relief and hope. "You know, Mr. Herriot, I think that could work very well." "But are you sure Con would take him?"
"I'd like to bet on it.
An old bachelor like him must be lonely. There's only one thing worries me. Normally they only meet outside, and I wonder how it would be when they were indoors, and Cedric started to, when the old trouble..."
"Oh, I think that would be all right,"
Mrs. Rumley broke in quickly. "When I go on holiday, Con always takes him for a week or two, and he has never mentioned any, anything unusual, in that way." I got up to go.
"Well, that's fine. I should put it to the old man right away."
Mrs. Rumley rang within a few days. Con had jumped at the chance of taking Cedric, and the pair had apparently settled in happily together. She had also taken my advice and acquired a poodle puppy. I didn't see the new dog till it was nearly 6 months old, and its mistress asked me to call to treat it for a slight attack of eczema. As I sat in the graceful room looking at Mrs. Rumley, cool, poised, tranquil, with the little white creature resting on her knee, I couldn't help feeling how right and fitting the whole scene was. The lush carpet, the trailing velvet curtains, the fragile tables with their load of expensive china and framed miniatures. It was no place for Cedric. Con Fenton's cottage was less than 1/2 mile away, and on my way back to the surgery, on an impulse, I pulled up at the door. The old man answered my knock, and his face split into a delighted grin when he saw me.
"Come in, young man," he cried in his strange, snuffly voice. "I'm right glad to see thee."
I had hardly stepped into the tiny living room when a hairy form hurled itself upon me. Cedric hadn't changed a bit, and I had to battle my way to the broken arm chair by the fireside. Con settled down opposite, and when the boxer leapt to lick his face, he clumped him companionably on the head with his fist.
"Sit down, you great duff bugger,"
he murmured with affection. Cedric sank happily onto the tattered hearthrug at his feet and gazed up adoringly at his new master.
"Well, Mr. Herriot,"
Con went on as he cut up some villainous-looking plug tobacco and began to stuff it into his pipe,
"I'm right grateful to you for getting with this grand dog. By gore, he's a chopper, and I wouldn't sell him for any money. No man could ask for a better friend."
"Well, that's great, Con," I said. "And I can see that the big chap is really happy here." The old man ignited his pipe and a cloud of acrid smoke rose to the low, blackened beams.
"Aye, he's hardly ever inside. A great, strong dog like him wants to work his energy off like."
But just at that moment, Cedric was obviously working something else off, because the familiar pungency rose from him even above the billowings from the pipe. Con seemed oblivious of it, but in the enclosed space I found it overpowering.
"Oh, well," I gasped. "I just looked in for a moment to see how you were getting on together. I must be on my way."
I rose hurriedly and stumbled towards the door, but the redolence followed me in a wave as I passed the table with the remains of the old man's meal, and I saw what seemed to be the only form of ornament in the cottage, a cracked vase holding a magnificent bouquet of carnations. It was a way of escape, and I buried my nose in their fragrance. Con watched me approvingly.
"Aye, they're lovely flowers, aren't they? Mrs. at Laurel lets me bring home what I want, and I reckon them carnations is me favourite."
Yes. They're a credit to you. I still kept my nose among the blooms.
There's only one thing, the old man said pensively. I don't get full benefit of them.
Now, how's that, Con? He pulled at his pipe a couple of times.
Well, you can hear I speak a bit funny-like.
No?
No. Not really. I know, I do. I've been like it since I were a lad. I had operation for adenoids and some of it wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, I said.
Well, it's not serious, but it's left me lacking in one way.
You mean...
A light was beginning to dawn in my mind. An elucidation of how man and dog had found each other, of why their relationship was so perfect, of the certainty of their happy future together. It seemed like fate.
Aye, the old man went on sadly. I have no sense of smell.